Some fight for love. Some fight for honor. Some fight for 99B.
It's the 99P Challenge! Guten Abend, I'm Sue Perkins, and what I guess I've learned today is that even heartbreak can help us all grow. And even though two of us didn't survive today, the rest of us will never forget them. Especially not me, because I'm carrying the baby of one of them. I'm so sorry, that's the bit for the end of the show. Sorry, welcome to the 99P Challenge. I've got four panellists here who will wrestle with the issues of the modern age, in jelly, if needs be. They're going to play a number of games, after which I may or may not award them small denomination coins, and whoever has the most at the end gets the chance to play for the glittering prize that won't actually buy you a tube of glitter. Yes, it's the 99P! Indeed. Let's meet the four hopefuls from this morning with Richard, not Judy. Please usher in Richard Herring.
Hello.
Hello, Ricard.
Hello.
From Big Train Space, it's Simon Pegg.
Hello.
And from the place they call Wales, because that's its name, Peter Bainham.
Hello.
And finally, the woman they call Sue Perkins, when they get it wrong, which is most of the time. It's UK Pewter's Melanie Goodrich.
Hello.
Hello, Mel.
Hello, dear.
Did I get the name right? It's Mel Gedrock.
Gedroich.
Mel Gedrock. How's things going?
Very good, actually,
Very
Sue.
Good, great.
A lot of solo projects.
Great.
Everything's
great.
Going dandy. Thanks.
To hear that. I'm in charge tonight. This is my turf, Mel.
Absolutely fine, I respect that, Sue.
That's our panel. Before we start, is there anything else that anyone would like to get off their chest? Richard?
Well, yeah, I would. As a child actor, I actually portrayed the original Lucy Robinson in Neighbours. Not... they replaced me with an actress with larger bosoms.
I doubt that.
Now, that's going stuff.
It is.
Mel, what would you like to get off your chest?
I'd like to get Richard Herring off my chest. Get off, Richard.
Simon, anything you'd like to get off your chest?
Yes, I killed a horse. And I cut its hooves off and I put them in a shoebox and I buried it on Chiswick Roundabout.
Save that story for pet rescue, Simon. Peter, what about you? What do you want to get off your chest?
I just say that my name is Peter and I'm a man trapped in the body of another very similar man.
Let's play the 99P Challenge! This round is about animals. Dogs, of course, do their bit. They sniff out drugs and they don't even ask for a cut when the police sell them on. But the rest of the animal kingdom are just a big bunch of layabouts, so how on earth can we put them to work? For instance, hamsters painted in fluorescent paint could provide low-level lighting for cinemas. If you throw dog biscuits down a toilet, your Pekingese will eventually become an instant bog brush. What other jobs could we give the animal kingdom?
Carrier rhinos. Because they're like carrier pigeons, just bigger and possibly faster as well. Or mid-elks, which are elks trained to deliver babies. with their antlers like that. And they flip them out. And then they just chew on the umbilical cord like that. And they also can be trained to say the word push and breathe.
I like the mid-elk.
I think you have Parmesan baboons, right?
Yeah.
Which are baboons that just stand in the corner of restaurants in a little uniform. with a bowl of Parmesan and a spoon just waiting there. And it'd be trained, you know, and you'd have to say, not now, Parmesan
yeah.
baboon. It'd be there, like, moving
wouldn't,
forward
like,
every time.
Wouldn't, like, wait to come in at a really important point in a conversation.
He puts the fettuccine down and, not now, Parmesan baboon, and then, now. And then he kind of steps forward and sprinkles a little Parmesan.
Yeah. Mel?
Well, see, I think a rabbit attached to the front of a supermarket trolley could be very useful for helping you find carrots when you're doing your weekly shop.
And what, for instance, if you'd had a surfeit or a glut of carrots, how then would a hamster on the front of your trolley help?
It was a rabbit, Sue. I didn't say hamster.
You've started talking like a Radio 2 DJ.
Absolutely.
And what's the weather like today up in King's Lynn? Let's ask Mel.
I think that worms could be trained to eat earwax and clean people's ears.
Is that
Putting
just
cotton
another
buds
way?
Down is dangerous in the inner ear, but a specially trained worm. Admittedly, we might get the occasional rogue worm who would burrow into the inner ear and eat your brain, but I think the odd individual dying would be worth it for the clean ears we would all have
How far down the line have you gone with this project?
Well, I've put a worm in my ear.
Would it be wrong to have a cow very anaesthetised walking around city centres as a kind of mobile burning kebab?
I'd like to see as well a helpful thing, I think, is anteater hoovers. Particularly good at clearing up any ants you have. Not so good at dust and stuff, but I've also thought of elephant hoovers, which will be good at picking up any buns that were lying around. So.
Is it mostly ants and buns on your floor?
Maybe. Well, it is.
Maybe,
yeah, Mel.
Sue, maybe we could have cobras, which are snakes and also bras.
Any more jobs for animals?
Could spray penguins orange and use them as intelligent traffic cones. Line of penguins on the M25 would be fantastic. And the thing is, if you hit them, you know, you could just go over them, really. You know, those traffic cones, they'd bounce out of the way and might hit a child that's standing on the hard shoulder.
Having a wee. Those students up down the country with penguins in their bedroom.
Yeah.
On their heads. I've actually trained an animal myself to be useful. He's a little mouse. I've trained him to carry a stack of coinage on his head. So, Peter, there's 4p for you. Simon, there's 4p for you as well. Mel, you get a bite.
Ow!
That won't scar, but it will linger around long enough for you to remember who's boss. And Richard, you get 5p. 5p of the realm. Well done. Now take the mouse away and graft a human leg on its back. Thank you very much. Before the next round begins, contestants, remove your clothes.
Oh, that feels good.
Oh, yes, so it's better now.
We're all dancing naked now, viewers. We're dancing on top of a big gun. Dance sexier, Richard. More.
I'm trying.
It's not enough. And this round's about James Bond. There's always a bit in Bond films after the first big chase when he gets a couple of gadgets from Q, and I'd like to suggest some gadgets for his next film. Simon, if you go first.
A car that turns into a lay-by.
From Handy Picnic Moment.
Yeah.
How about you, Meg? What would you equip him with?
I think he should be equipped with a mixture of eggs, flour and sugar that, when it comes into contact with heat, turns into cake.
Richard?
I think he should get a duvet that turns into, like, a big padded hat. Quite stylish, you know, but shouldn't he go, oh, Mr. Bond, you have a duvet. And then, or if it was in like, you go, oh, Mr. Bond, you have a big padded hat.
How about this gun? Bond, that you take this gun, and every time you kill somebody with it, you get 100 air miles.
I think that might send out conflicting messages.
But it's also a kind gun. When you shoot somebody with it, the bullet will then come out of the body, go around and knock on his wife's door and say, I've got some very bad news for you. You better sit down, would you like a cup of tea?
It's a variation on the old oil slick coming out the back of the car thing. You have a car that actually projects pornography onto the road. Because baddies just love TNA. And particularly if you're being chased by sort of Kenneth Connor, who go...
Also James.
Also James. Yeah, which makes it so funny.
But this is an axe, but it's no ordinary axe. It has a silencer.
How about a briefcase that fires John Cleese from any of the other films?
And for bonus pence, who do you think is next in line after Piers Brosnan to play James Bond?
Leslie Judd.
Yes. I can see that.
She'd keep very calm under pressure. And she'd always wear A-line denim, which is fine by me.
Okay, let's liquefy coinage and spray money around. At the end of that round, I'm giving Peter Bainham 3p, I'm giving Mel Gedroich 3p, Simon Pegg's getting 4, and Richard Herring is getting 7. And now it's time to play, quite literally, the English language is littered with phrases and metaphors which have become divorced and separated from their original meanings, up until now. Each contestant is going to act out a metaphorical phrase, the others have to be the first to guess what they are quite literally doing. For instance, if one of them were to put on a tiger suit and eat Eric Clapton and Ginger Baker, they would quite literally be the cat that got the cream. Peter, it's your turn first, the rest of you listen very carefully.
I have taken severed body parts and I have assembled them into a woman who will be in films such as Ha Ha Ha, Sister Act, Sister Act 2. She will have life.
Is Pete quite literally making whoopee?
He is quite literally making whoopee. Well done, Pete. That's 2p to you, Richard. Well done. Mel, do your action, please.
Okay, Sue. I'll just undo your shirt. With my lashes. Ooh, that's a bit stingy. I'll just...
Right, what was Mel quite literally doing? Peter?
Are you quite literally undressing somebody with your eyes?
Is correct, yes.
Yes.
2 pence to Peter. Next up, Simon. Show us what you're quite literally doing.
Right, well, I'm a bit tired, but I'm going to get all my hardies and put them over here, because I don't want my hardies, I want the other one, and I'm going to put him here, behind me, and I'm going to sit back on him and just relax on the other one that's not hardy.
Richard?
Is Simon quite literally resting his laurels?
He is resting his laurels, well done, good work. Richard, you with the face.
Okay.
Quite literally do something.
Okay. I think I'll go to the toilet. Oh, but hold on. This toilet seat is completely the wrong size. It's designed wrong. It should be much, much smaller than that. It's too big. Ow! I've banged my lower back.
What's going on there, Simon?
I've hurt my...
Have you got a fat ass?
No, it's not it. I've banged my lower back and hurt my funny bone.
Peter.
Oh! Are you quite literally sitting on a toilet for a Cindy doll?
No.
No. Ooh, look at my bum. It's in the middle of my arm.
Melanie Gledroyk.
Have you quite literally inherited a pile?
No.
Rich quite literally doesn't know his arse from his elbow.
It's a correct answer. Two pence to Simon. Well done. And for a bonus pence, who's quite literally done something this week?
Actually, it's strange you say that, because I quite literally came a cropper this morning. And I don't know if you've seen a cropper. But
no.
Quite big things with... little jagged edges, so...
I quite literally got an infinite number of monkeys and sat them in front of an infinite number of typewriters, but unfortunately I could only afford to buy a finite number of bananas, so they all died.
I quite literally ran before I could walk.
Ah, that's a mistake. It's really made.
It's really painful.
It's painful, isn't it? Yeah.
Earlier I quite literally took the piss out of Gary Barlow. Last night, I quite literally looked after number one. I was babysitting for a friend who couldn't be asked to give his kids names.
At the end of that round, I'd like to say that quite literally I've had it up to here, but that's another story. So, linguistic pedantry shall be rewarded, and Peter Bainham has tuppence. Mel Gedroy has 7p. Simon Pegg has 8p. Richard Herring has 10p. Space. It's big. There's planets and stuff. But there's massive gaps in between where God just couldn't think of anything else to fill it up with. This round, I'm sending the contestants into space to see how they cope in a tin can far above the world. I'm going to be mission control, and I want them to tell me what they find. Okay, this is Houston. Can you hear me, Atlantis? Over.
Houston, I've got a problem here.
Yes.
The pipes come loose from my underwear, and I've quite literally filled my boots.
I just thank God I'm 47,000 miles away.
Yes, dear!
Yes?
You have an oxygen tank, and I don't get oxygen!
It's Mel here, hi.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Houston.
Hello.
I really liked your film, The Addams Family.
Yes.
It's really good, even though you do look a bit mannish with those hard cheekbones.
Yes. So I see what you've done there. You've confused Mission Control, the expensive NASA space sort of centre, with Angelica Houston. Please go away now.
Hello, Angelica Houston.
Bye! Yes, hello.
Hi, Houston. Yeah, from the travel chest does not appear to be magnetic. Repeat. The travel chest does not appear to be magnetic. We've got a slight problem. You know that Russian spacecraft that we docked with?
Mir?
Yeah, it's now pregnant.
Oh, right, okay.
It's going to become a Mama Mia.
In space, no one can hear you pun. At the end of that round, I'm giving Peter Bainham tuppence. I'm giving Simon Pegg 5p. I'm giving Richard Herring 5p. And Mel Gedroyt, I'm afraid, she gets nothing because she has to learn. We're going to play a little game now. No pence involved. It's just for fun. It's called Drown Out the Voice of Olivia Newton-John. I've given each contestant... Yes, you can play along, audience. I've given each contestant a musical instrument. When I play the music, I want them to make a big racket whenever they hear her voice. Just her voice, not when they hear John Travolta's voice. You'll know it's her voice because you'll get a feeling of bile moving up your GI tract. If you're at home, grab your bassoon and join in as we play Drown Out the Voice of Olivia Newton-John. Here it comes.
Had me a blast. I met a girl.
No pence, it was just for fun. Thank you always for joining in to help drown out Olivia Newton-John. Richard Branson is an entrepreneur who has lots of great ideas for expanding his business empire. But unfortunately, we don't get to hear about them because he shuns the public eye. Not for him, the world of cheap publicity stunts. We say, come out of your shell, Richard. Come on. That's the way. Join the world. I'd like now the contestants to suggest ways for Richard Branson to promote any or all of his products, or indeed new Virgin products that we haven't seen yet. Richard, it's your turn.
I'd like to see Virgin Merkins, which I think Richard Branson could model by wearing them on his face, maybe. Oh, he has already.
Peter, what about you?
I was thinking of Virgin Virgins, which are young, unpenetrated women that he would market to cultures that still require that for marriage. And the publicity thing would be to sacrifice a 17-year-old virgin on an altar on live television. And I'm involved in talks with him at the moment about worldwide rights to that.
Melania, any suggestions?
Susan Merkins, I've got a new product. It's called an ear wade, which helps you hear more clearly in water. That's a Virgin ear wade. Feel the pun.
OK, any more products?
As a publicity stunt, which I think is the point of the round, he could set himself on fire whilst handing a large cheque to his wife to promote Virgin Life Insurance.
They could make gin. Virgin gin. For people who like drinking gin and who stutter as well.
Or he could stop his own heart for 2 minutes to promote Virgin defibrillators. Or longer, who knows?
If you're listening to this on a Virgin train, don't forget that the BBC World Service broadcasts on this frequency throughout the night, so there is plenty to listen to before you start moving again. Lock him up and shave him, that's what I say. Now, in the last couple of years, there's been a rash, quite literally, of makeover shows. People transform your homes, your garden, or anything else. Changing rooms, ground force, patio commanders, roof garden, Wehrmacht. You can't move for them. But let's say a telly channel wanted more of them. Just say, and I'm not saying BBC One, just say that BBC One wanted more of these shows. What programmes could we offer them? Melanie.
Hello, dear.
Hello, you.
Well, I think they should be changing tombs. With Charlie Dimmock, her breasts bouncing underneath
her hanging baskets.
Running through graveyards, digging up graves. Maybe sponge-affecting a few bones, rag-rolling an old skull.
I would like to see Changing Rooms. It's a Channel 5 programme where a camera is hidden in a woman's changing room. And that's it.
Grand Farce, which is Charlie and Alan get up to a bit of hanky-panky. Little do they know, Lawrence has invited the vicar for tea.
With hilarious consequences?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
But ground-changing force rooms, where while he's away, Carol Smiley changes Alan Titchmarsh's garden into a lovely room without his knowledge. Meanwhile, he exacts revenge by bulldozing Carol Smiley's house and changing it into a garden.
Yeah, that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Changing Coombs, where Pat Coombs just changes.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Changing Wombs, in which fetuses are put into the wombs of their next-door neighbours, who are then asked to bring them up for 18 years. Then the real parents come round and go, oh, my God, what have you done? He likes Marillion. I wanted him to play the violin.
In the new spirit of peace in Northern Ireland, I'd like to see changing cells, in which the last remaining sectarian prisoners in the Mays prison swap cells and smear faeces on the walls. of their erstwhile rivals.
It's got to be Ragroll, Pete. It's got to be Ragroll.
End of that round. Just because I want to, I'm going to give Simon Pegg 5 points. Richard Herrington gets 6. I'm going to give Mel also 6, and Peter Bainham's going to get 7. Of course, if we spent as much time doing up our houses and gardens as we spent watching these makeover shows, we'd live in palaces, wouldn't we? Not in the damp, dark, overpriced holes that we cry in on our own. Next round's about people who want to kill themselves. Just say someone's high on a ledge on top of, I don't know, Broadcasting House, clinging on to the rather tasteless Eric Gill statuette. Okay, just say that person's me. You have all got loud hailers. You've got to persuade me to go on living before I jump 6 floors onto Libby Purvis's head and make a big, mediocre presenter-shaped mess all over the papers. Okay, I'm going to jump.
Stand back, it's not so...
What, who's that?
Jump. It's Peter, don't jump. You'll never get to read about the 11 o'clock show being taken off the telly.
Justice and last!
Sue, it's your erstwhile partner, Mel.
No!
Mel, sorry, Sue. Do jump, I'm a necrophiliac with a penchant for wounds.
I'm stepping back off the ledge because you've disturbed me, Richard.
Sue, don't worry, you will die. You just have to be a bit patient.
Mel, tell me, we've died many times. When?
No, don't do it.
Why?
You don't do it. Funerals are not tax deductible.
You're so right. I know, as a self-employed person, I should have thought ahead. Thanks, Peter.
So, listen, if you do it right...
Yeah?
The last thing you'll have done is this programme.
You've got a real point. I'm nearly jumping, I tell you. I'm off. I'm going.
No,
save me. What?
You'll never know if Charles actually marries Camilla.
I don't care.
There's good things in the world.
What?
Oil of Ulay has been changed to oil of Olay.
No.
I'm
thinking about it. You're saying one of my favourite facial moisturisers has got a Hispanic flair to it. I must come back off the ledge immediately.
Don't jump.
Okay.
You've got mail. Okay. The BBC has launched BBC Talent.
Really?
Sue.
Do you reckon I can be able to con them that I'm a 16-year-old DJ with no work experience?
Yes, Sue.
Could I be a young Jamie Theakston?
Never that, Sue. Sue, don't jump. There's only 2 rounds to go.
Okay, I'm coming inside now. I've regained the will to live. I'm coming down. Here comes the currency. None for you, Mel, because you drove me to it in the first place. You drove me to it. Simon Pegg is going to get 7 pence. Richard Hang's going to get 10 pence. Peter Bain's going to get 11 pence. Welcome. You are through to the 99p challenge. This round is about automated phone systems. If you hate the way automated phone systems waste your time, press the star button now. To confirm that you hate the way they waste your time, press the star button again. And to waste further time in this round, I want you to actually be the automated phone system for any organisation you choose, okay? And first up, Melanie Gazookadook.
You're through to Holland. For cheese and clogs, press 1. For tulips and canals, press 2. For prostitution and legalised drugs, press the hash key.
Richard of Herring.
Hello, you're through to the helpline for impatient people. If you require help, press the star button 650 times. I'm sorry. You press the star button 651 times. It means you must start again.
Simon Pegg, can you see your automated message?
Hello. You've reached the Society for People Under 5 Foot. Your call will be answered shortly.
And lastly, Pete Bainham.
Hello. You're through to the Strongest Man in the World contest. If you'd like to enter, press 1. Try again. Sorry, I don't think you're the kind of person we're looking for.
Any more automated phone messages?
Hello, you've reached the penile deformity helpline. All our operators are giggling at the moment.
Hello, welcome to the Betty Ford Clinic. If you're calling about your drink problem, press 1. No, that was 1. Try again. That was about 4 numbers at once. I'm not... Oh, dear, never mind.
Hello, you're through to a helpline for people trapped within music magazines. You are held in a queue and will be answered shortly.
I can't stand uniform happiness. I wish we could get back to the good old days of human operators with British surliness fitted as standard. Okay, I'm giving out to Richard Herring 5p, to Simon Pegg 5p, to Peter Bainham 5p, and to Melanie Gedroich 5.5p. And at the end of that, here come the final scores. Mel, I'm afraid you did come last with 51.5p. Okay,
thank you.
Good luck
that's
with
fair.
Your solo work. Simon comes third with 52p. Richard Herring comes second with 55p. That's losing a Singapore betting syndicate £12 million. I hope you've got bodyguards with you. And tonight's winner is the Cardiff Cruiser. It's Peter Razor McBainham, weighing in at £47 with a whopping 68p. Peter, you won pay for big prize.
I won risk my money.
You won go 99p.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then let's bring on the conveyor belts.
Try and remember everything you see on the conveyor belt.
In a moment, the conveyor belt will start. Peter, I want you to memorise everything that you see. Look at it, Peter. There it is. Everything you remember, you can take home with you tonight. And remember it all, you win 99p. OK? Thank you, glamorous male assistant. Close the curtains. OK, Peter, what did you see?
A braille mirror. A set of assorted wonky things. A drug. Four drunk hexagons kicking in a pentagon.
Yes, that's right.
Fun-size forceps.
Yes, they were. Well done.
The baby gynecologist.
Yeah, exactly.
An oven-ready angel. Thing from removing horses from nightclubs.
Yes, of course. Did anyone else spot anything to help Peter out?
Was there a zombie snail there?
Yes, there was. Was spotted. It was a zombie snail, yep.
The inventor of guts.
Bag of creases.
It was a concrete miniature of Winchester. Did anyone see that?
Yeah. Oh, a milk iron for ironing milk.
Yep. You've got everything on the conveyor belt. You got the lot. You win 99p. And that is all we've got time for. So, thanks to Peter Bainham, Richard Herring, Mel Gedroich and Simon Pegg. And if you're writing to feedback to complain about me, my name is spelled SUELAWLEY. Good night. The 99p Challenge was presented by me, Sue Perkins. It was written by Kevin Cecil and Andy Riley. It was produced by Sarah Smith and David Tyler. It's a Positive production for the BBC.